I'm VOA's Joe Ramsey with your worldwide news update. The Lebanese Red Cross said an Israeli airstrike Monday hit an apartment building in northern Lebanon, killing at least 21 people. It came a day after Israel's military said a Lebanon-based Hezbollah drone attack on an army base in central Israel killed 4 soldiers and severely wounded 7 others. The deadliest strike by the militant group since Israel launched its ground invasion of Lebanon nearly 2 weeks ago. Israel's air defenses have performed well during the past year of war, having intercepted thousands of rockets and missiles. But at times, the systems have struggled against the drone threat, which presents unique challenges. AP correspondent Joe Fetterman has more from Jerusalem.
Drones are unlike rockets. They fly on a different flight path. They can move in different directions during their flight. They tend to go lower to the ground. They are slower and smaller than rockets and missiles. Taken together, this can make them much harder to detect. In fact, sometimes they're even mistaken as birds. Israel's defense minister says that the country is aware of this problem. He says people are working on a solution, and he is promising a solution in the near future.
AP correspondent Joe Fetterman. A top official with UNICEF says more than 400,000 children in Lebanon have been displaced in the past 3 weeks. He warns of a lost generation in the small country grappling with multiple crises and now in the middle of war. UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director for Humanitarian Actions told the AP Monday that more than 100 children have been killed and over 800 wounded in the 3 weeks since Israel escalated its campaign against the Lebanon-based Hezbollah militant group, including launching a ground invasion. This is VOA News. Russia says it captured a southern Ukraine village in a push before winter comes. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Russia says it's captured the city of Livadny in southern Ukraine. Livadny in the Zaporizhia region was seized by the Russians early on during the full-scale invasion, which began on February 24, 2022. But it was recaptured by Ukrainian forces during a counter-offensive in the summer of 2023. Though Russia's gains have been incremental, its steady forward movement is slowly adding up as the Ukrainians are pushed backward. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Canada and India have expelled each other's diplomats in an escalating dispute. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
In tit-for-tat moves, Canada and India each expelled 6 diplomats Monday as part of an escalating dispute over last year's assassination of Sikh activist Hardeep Singh Najjar in Canada, which notified India that its ambassador was a person of interest in the assassination. India has rejected the accusation as absurd. Bridget Govan, Assistant Commissioner, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
We're not here to speak specifically about the Najjar homicide, but we want to draw your attention and inform the public of the breadth of criminal activity that is occurring in Canada, which is a grave concern to our public safety. And what I can tell you, though, as a result of those investigations, we have uncovered connections to the government of India.
The RCMP also says they have evidence linking agents of the government of India to violent crimes committed in Canada. I'm Julie Walker.
A NASA spacecraft is rocketing towards Jupiter's moon Europa. AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And liftoff.
Scientists are almost certain a deep global ocean exists beneath Europa. If there is water, there could be life. Lori Leshin is director of NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab.
Even though it's a robot we're sending out into space, it's a very human endeavor to want to explore the unknown, and especially to want to understand where life came from, how we originated, whether there could be other life out there.
Europa Clipper won't be looking for life. It has no life detectors. But the spacecraft will zero in on the ingredients necessary to sustain life. All this will have to wait, though. It's going to take 5.5 years to reach Jupiter. I'm Ed Donahue.
That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. Today is Tuesday, October 15th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Severe flooding grounds agricultural and commercial activities in Kidira, Senegal.
It's very severe here because in the last couple of days, the river Gambia that crisscrosses this area overflowed its banks and washed away everything. Homes have been washed away. So many livestock have been killed.
Descendants of people who fled German persecution in the early 1900s in Namibia are returning to their ancestral homeland. Dozens of Boko Haram and Islamic State fighters rehabilitated under Nigeria's amnesty program escaped with heavy weapons. A Nigerian town with the highest number of births celebrates. The American Psychiatric Association warns of election stress disorder as the U.S. presidential contest looms.
The November 5th presidential election causing anxiety for nearly three-quarters of those surveyed in an American Psychiatric Association poll. Some psychologists are branding this phenomenon election stress disorder.
And NASA boldly goes where no man has gone before as it explores an icy moon that could harbor alien life. These stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Severe flooding has grounded agricultural and commercial activities in the Senegalese town of Kidira near the border with Mali. Hundreds are reported homeless and property washed away. For more, I reached reporter Alpha Jallo.
It's very severe here because in the last couple of days, the river Gambia that crisscrosses this area overflowed its banks and washed away everything. Homes have been washed away. So many livestock have been killed. People are homeless, and there hasn't been any response from the Red Cross, not the government. Also, the people are worried. So the whole place is flooded, especially the main town, which is Kidira. And you also have villages which are completely flooded, and their crops have also been washed away. So the situation is quite worrisome.
What caused this flooding? Was it rains or was it a dam burst?
Actually, it's not a dam burst, but it's been just, torrential rains. That's been the area has been receiving in the last couple of days, especially towards the end of October. Even what the weather forecast just alerted the situation that, it will risk a situation when the river could not contain the water and then likely the river would just burst its banks into the population or into residential areas. And this is exactly what's happening right now. And it is causing a lot of difficulties because this is a main traffic with so many trucks, trailer trucks carrying, goods from Dakar heading to Mali, and they are all stranded. From where I am now, I can count about 500 or more than that trucks. They are all stranded here because the road is completely flooded and none of them would dare to drive.
Is the government aware of this situation and what is the government doing?
Just about a few days before the alert, some government official came to the area and they were received by the mayor. But since they left, they just left and then the situation happened. So right now the mayor and then the local authorities in the area, they are calling the government to come and help them because none of them is being helped. There's no Red Cross here. There's nothing. The people are just managing it themselves. They are battling with gushing flood waters everywhere. You see that now most of them are homeless. We are talking about, hundreds of homeless people who have no homes now. They are all homeless. And then the situation is very bad at the moment. And then it's just about last week that the school opened. And then the situation is worrying. The student cannot go to school. And then initially, before, when a situation like this happened, people will be moved to schools. They will be moved to be accommodated to schools or government warehouses, but everything is flooded. So what we are saying that unless the government brings in the required aid, at the moment, the situation is getting so difficult.
That's reporter Alpha Jallo speaking with us from Kidira, Senegal. In Namibia, descendants of people who fled German persecution in the early 1900s are returning to their ancestral homeland. The government of Namibia has set aside 5 commercial farms for the relocation of almost 100 ethnic Ovaherero people. Vitaly Angula reports from Vindek.
As the sun rises on a windy September day, Veronica Bitako is getting the final stamps on her immigration documents. She is among about 100 of a Herero people of Namibian descent relocating to their ancestral homeland. Thousands of ethnic Ovaherero fled Namibia in the early 1900s to escape a war between German colonizers and local resistance fighters. Nearly three-fourths of the Ovaherero population, about 60,000 people, were wiped out in a genocidal campaign. Many of the 20,000 who remained found refuge in what is now Botswana, but they regarded Namibia as home.
Today is indeed a historic day, a day on which the people who are Botswana of Namibian descent are coming back and tracing their steps back to Namibia. Namibia, the country of their motherland. So it is indeed a historic day.
Carrying the luggage with toddlers in tow, about 50 of Ovaherero men and women cross the Gobe border post. They are escorted by government leaders and traditional chiefs to begin their new lives. More of Ovaherero will come when their ghetto get the necessary clearance from authorities. The Namibian government has set aside 5 commercial farms for the returnees. The new arrivals are hopeful the transition will be a smooth one.
If you give me a farm and all the implements on the farm, I'll be able to farm successfully.
This is just the beginning of a resettlement process that will take months. Namibian officials say it is a form of restorative justice for people whose ancestors lost their land so many decades ago. Vitalio Angula, VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
Thank you, Vitalio. A Nigerian official said dozens of Boko Haram and Islamic State fighters rehabilitated under the country's amnesty program have escaped with heavy weapons after they were co-opted into a joint military anti-insurgency operation in Borno State. They were part of a government de-radicalization, rehabilitation, reintegration and resettlement program for low-risk persons previously associated with armed insurgency groups. Dr. Abubakar Mohamed Sani is a professor in the Military Studies Department at the University of Abuja. He told me the fighters are returning to combat because the government reneged on its promises.
The implication of they going back is very grievous. Number one, they've stayed, they've interacted with people in the society, they have gathered credible intelligence. Whatever information you and I would take for granted to them is something that is what it weighs in gold there. So they have gathered credible intelligence. They know the defense system of in the military and the civilian JTF because they have been working alongside with them. Now they have absconded with motorbikes or whatever. They have absconded to the bushes. The implications are very grievous. It means those who are in the bushes will be strengthened. They will be encouraged. If there are others who want to surrender in the bushes, this will discourage them from surrendering. And I think we should be more vigilant now because if they want to launch anything, they would have precision in the way they will launch their attacks.
Some analysts are saying that the implications are that Boko Haram fighters are moles within the Nigerian security apparatus. And that's why it appears the government has been unable to strengthen and beef up security in these areas, and this insurgency continues.
We've known some of them who surrendered and they joined forces with the government forces to go fight their comrades in the bushes. And in the process of that, they lost their life. People like Small and so on and so forth, who, you know, because they believe in this very government of Nigeria, they believe in the armed forces and whatever, they went with the armed forces of Nigeria, Operation Harding K and so on and so forth, to fight those ones in the bushes. In the process, they got killed. How can somebody say they are most? As I've told you earlier, some of them got discouraged. They are not regular army. They don't have pension. They don't have this. They don't have that. It's just based on the promises the government made for them. They will get them houses, little money to start businesses. And at the end, all those things are not forthcoming. They didn't see any. So they see their comrades dying and the promises made not being fulfilled. And these people, what they were being offered while they were in the bushes, I think, was small money. You hear their testimony, the kind of money they send to their parents, their relatives. You can't keep those people here in the city with 10,000, with 20,000, with bicycle, and you think they'll be contented. Especially when they see you in opulence, displaying wealth, and they get to know that all these things are made for you people. People are diverting it. So I don't believe they are most.
Should the government now have a better screening of some of these repentant Boko Haram and IS fighters to ensure that the entire security apparatus is not compromised? Or is that even possible?
To be candid, I think the government is trying. I was told that even when they claim to say they want to surrender, that is the process whereby they will be asked to swear with the Holy Quran that they really meant it, that they are surrendering. So they undergo all these processes. But as I've told you, it all comes back to this very important question. Promises made to them, their welfare, their upkeep, business, livelihood, and so on. How is the government effectively keeping to those promises? It all boils down to this very question. If the government will live up to expectation and be honest and be sincere, then the way it deals with these very people so much that when you told them that we are giving you A, B, C, D, E, fulfill it.
That's Abubakar Mohamed Sani of the Military Studies Department at the University of Abuja, speaking with me from Maiduguri, Borno State in Nigeria. NASA has launched a spacecraft to Jupiter's moon Europa, considered one of our solar system's most promising spots, to search for life beyond Earth. The craft will learn whether the ice-encased world, believed to harbor a vast underground ocean, is habitable. David Doyle of Reuters has more.
Over the next 5.5 years, a NASA spacecraft, Europa Clipper, will make the 1.8 billion mile journey to one of Jupiter's moons. Its mission, to find out if life could exist in underground oceans of an ice-encased world. Europa is considered one of our solar system's most promising spots to search for life beyond Earth. Scientists have a keen interest in a vast, salty, liquid water ocean that previous observations have indicated resides under the surface of the moon. That's beneath an icy shell believed to be 10 to 15 miles thick. NASA planetary scientist Bonnie Baratti said there is very strong evidence that the ingredients for life exist on Europa. Baratti pointed out that there are three main requirements for life to form. These are liquid water, an energy source, and certain chemistry, specifically organic compounds that could serve as a food for any primitive organisms. Europa is considered to be an ocean world. Though it is just a quarter of Earth's diameter, it may hold twice the water of Earth's oceans. Because of its distance from the sun, Europa receives only about 4% of the solar radiation that Earth gets. However, Baratti describes how the moon flexes as its orbit comes nearer and farther from Jupiter, thanks to the gas giant's gravitational pull. That process produces heat, an energy source, on the moon. Scientists also speculate that there may be thermal vents at the bottom of the ocean where heat releases chemical energy. Europa Clipper has three main scientific objectives. They are gauging the thickness of Europa's outer layer of ice and its interactions with the subsurface below, figuring out the moon's composition, and determining its geology. It is the biggest spacecraft NASA has ever built for a planetary mission, larger than a basketball court. That's due to its sizable solar arrays, used to power scientific instruments, electronics, and its other subsystems. One of the nine instruments on board is Mass Specs. It will sample gases to study Europa's ocean surface and atmospheric chemistries. It will, Baratti said, look for sophisticated organic molecules that could provide food. But there is a long wait for answers. Europa is expected to enter Jupiter's orbit in 2030, having used the gravities of Earth and Mars to slingshot its way through the solar system. But Bharati says exploratory missions like this one always uncover something that we could not have imagined. She said there will be something there, something unknown, and that is going to be, quote, so wonderful that we can't conceive of it right now. That's the thing that excites me most.
That's David Doyle of Reuters. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Afo in Washington. Today is Tuesday, October 15th. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still to come on program, we'll be talking about the American Psychiatric Association's. The American Psychiatric Association says that as election approach, stress levels go up, regardless of political affiliation. Some psychologists call it election stress disorder. And Maxim Adams has the story.
The November 5th presidential election causing anxiety for nearly three-quarters of those surveyed in an American Psychiatric Association poll. Some psychologists are branding this phenomenon election stress disorder. Lynn Bufka with the American Psychological Association.
The political climate discussions about the election had become a lot more heated and a lot more divisive. And we wondered if that was having an impact on individuals. And certainly their self-reported experience of it was that indeed that has been a significant source of stress for many individuals. And other research has also found similar kinds of results.
Political stress affects many aspects of life, says University of Nebraska-Lincoln political science professor Kevin Smith.
A fifth to a quarter of American reports ruptured social relationships, maybe even problems at work because of politics.
Smith's research shows that young people, as well as those with left-leaning views and those more involved in politics, are more prone to election stress.
We know how to mitigate the health effects. It's just stop paying attention to politics, just tune out. The problem with that is that might be good for individual health, but it's not particularly good for civic health.
Stress management specialist Dr. Kiran Dintiala, known as Dr. Kam, recently published a book called The Mantra of Peaceful Politics, where he shares his advice of how to avoid excessive stress during the pre-election period.
Elections come and go. Politicians come and go. It might change their future, maybe 10%, 20%, maybe 30%, but for most part, their future, their happiness depends on what they do every single day in their life, their behaviors, their emotions.
But Bufka says there is a way out of the psychological malaise. She says it is all about exerting control over where you get your information and also about doing something, anything, instead of doom-scrolling political stories.
Constantly exposing ourselves to negative information, negative images, negative rhetoric is going to elevate our overall sense of negativity and stress. So we have some control there. Another thing that we encourage people to think about is engaging in meaningful activities, whether it's related to the election or to current societal issues or problems that are important to you.
APA stresses that it's important to remain calm and maintain social relationships, as spending time with loved ones, an active lifestyle, and healthy eating and sleeping can all help reduce anxiety in the days before the election. Maxim Adams, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Maxim. And the sleepy town of Igbora in Nigeria's southwest Oyo State came alive over the weekend with laughter, music, and celebration at the annual Twins Festival. The festival featured a procession of twins of various ages, parading in pairs, taking photos, dressed in matching clothes, and accompanied by drummers and dancers. The five-day event showcased the unique bond between twins, who are common in the Yoruba ethnic group that dominates southwest Nigeria. A 1970 study by a British gynecologist found that 50 sets of twins were born out of every 1,000 births in the southwest, one of the highest rate of twins births in the world. Even among Yoruba people, Igbora is considered exceptional with at least one birth at every family. Locals believe the high rate of twins is linked to okra leaf and amala,
a local dish made from yam and cassava flour. However, Dr. Gaffa Amor said research suggests genetic factors are more likely responsible. From pop superstar Taylor Swift to former wrestler Hulk Hogan, celebrity endorsements have been a feature of this year's U.S. presidential race. But whether they will have any kind of impact on the election is difficult to predict. VOA's Veronica Barderas has the details.
American singer-songwriter Taylor Swift is cheered around the world for her music. Most of her fans also cheered her pick for president. On September 10th, Swift took to Instagram to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris to be the next president of the United States, describing her as a, quote, steady-handed and gifted leader. Swift fan Jaslyn Kaur is chair of Marquette University's College Democrats in Wisconsin. As a young voter in a swing state, she welcomed the singer's move.
I don't think it's necessarily going to change voters' minds. However, I do think it's actually going to mobilize younger voters to go out and vote and go out and vote Democratic.
Addressing a different demographic, legendary musician Bruce Springsteen recently posted a social media video also endorsing the Democratic ticket.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are committed to a vision of this country that respects and includes everyone, regardless of class, religion, race, your political point of view, or sexual identity.
Conservative celebrity endorsements have also been pouring in. At the Republican National Convention in July, wrestling legend Hulk Hogan ripped off his shirt while expressing his full support for former President Donald Trump.
Let Trumpomania run wild, brother! Let Trumpomania rule again! Let Trumpomania make America great again!
Country music singer Kid Rock, who performed at the RNC, has backed all of Trump's presidential bids.
God bless Donald Trump. God bless America.
Even when famous people's endorsements, such as Taylor Swift's, draw thousands of visitors to voting information sites, it's unclear how many people actually register to vote. And analysts find it hard to predict an endorsement's impact. Professor of Political Science at Hamline University, David Schultz, via Skype.
The critical question is going to be, is it voter registration in the places that matter, and does that voter registration turn over actually into voter turnout?
Last-minute celebrity endorsements most probably won't be game-changers, Schultz says.
Since Joe Biden exited and Kamala Harris came in, we're looking at small little shifts in public opinion. But for the most part, I think the public has made up their mind.
The political expert notes, however, that if they really like the celebrity, undecided voters could still be persuaded to show up at the polls on November 5th. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
And that's it for this Tuesday, October 15th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for tuning in. And for more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the entire Daybreak Africa crew, I'm Chinedu Afua in Washington, wishing you a great weekend.
Eligible voters in the United States are immigrants who are naturalized citizens. Among them is an estimated over 2.4 million foreign-born African. On this week's Our Voices, we'll explore how African immigrants will be a key voting bloc in the upcoming presidential election. Join the conversation on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa presents the latest news about Africa and the world and its news summaries. Africa in Brief airs every day at 400, 500 and 600 UTC. Give us 5 minutes of your time to be brought up to date. Africa in Brief, your trusted source for News.